and welcome to a very special supplementary episode of our program this week, where we present the most recent episode of The Sound of Tomorrow, which is a program from the East Coast, actually, hosted by Ross and Heather, a great pair of people who do basically kind of like a drive time news type show where they talk about current issues and this and that and the other, and it's more just kind of conversational, and they play some music from time to time as well. It's a great show, and they bring a lot of personality and fun to what can be very difficult topics, especially with the current news cycle. I'm a fan. I think they do a great job. And so I had interviewed Heather for this program a fair bit ago, and the show just came out. And so to celebrate, they had me on their show, which was very cool. And you'll get to hear what we did. So please stick around and listen to episode 298 of The Sound of Tomorrow, featuring a very special guest by the name of Austin Rich. Here it is. Enjoy.
WTBC Radio in beautiful anywhere, anywhere.
This program was recorded in the WAYO studios on July 25th, 2018.
Heather Zykowski, the babe with the power. That was awesome.
Thank you.
I'm Heather Zykowski, the babe with the power. And coming up next on WAYO-LP Rochester's
Mortal Kombat,
Sound of Tomorrow, where we're going to be talking with creative media giant Austin Rich about what goes on in Salem, Oregon.
Home of the famous Salem witch trials.
That's right. We'll be talking witches.
We'll be talking sandwiches.
Which is which? Austin is going to let us know.
This whole thing isn't just going to be full of witch puns, is it?
Speaking of witches, I'm doing a spell.
Why are you doing that?
I'm casting a spell on you.
This is as much as I can riff.
Did that work?
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on the air at WAYO LP Rochester. The phone number rings. This is amazing.
Ross? Dawson? Is this you?
Yeah, that's right. You're live on the air with The Sound of Tomorrow with Ross and Heather. And this is Ross here. Caller, so did you have a question for witchcraft expert Austin Rich, who will be calling in this hour?
Absolutely, yes. I'm so flustered. Ross,
got a show to do, but
expert Austin Rich calling right now.
Oh my God, Particle Austin, that's you. You sound so different over the phone than you do over Skype. But I thought you were calling in a little later.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just too excited to talk to Ross, and I couldn't wait any longer.
Well, that makes sense. I get pretty excited to talk to Ross too.
So, wow, oh my gosh, Ross, I mean, I have like a million questions for you that are not about Morrissey.
Oh, wow, okay, well, that is really flattering, but we're just doing an intro skit thing right here, so I'm not really sure that's the best time for that, you know?
How do you get your hair like that? Because, I mean, it looks fabulous all the time on the radio.
Oh, I comb it, actually, yeah.
Oh, of course, a comb. That is so amazing. I mean, you always know exactly what to say to be funny in the moment. It's so great.
Well, thank you. I don't know how to respond to that. But hello, hi.
So, are you ever going to get back to your Rockford blog? I've read through the entire archive a couple of times, and I just love what you're doing over there.
Okay, I didn't know this was going to be all about me, but I actually haven't posted on that blog since 2011, I think.
Yeah. 2014, actually. Your last Rutherford.com post was 2014. It was a really short one, though, so I'm not surprised you don't remember. But I really like the longer ones better, like your Comic-Con observations. Those are so brilliant.
Heather, could you...
I knew you guys would get along fantastically.
I just feel like... I don't even.
You'll know never get me Kuiper crystals.
Okay, what? I don't even know what that is.
You'll never get me Kuiper crystals.
Okay, what does that mean though?
That's you, man. You don't remember?
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. But frankly, Austin, you know what? I'm getting a little creeped out. Actually, just a tiny little bit. This is fine. I mean, you know.
Oh no! A little. Please, don't be creeped out. It's just a quote from your 2015 Star Wars: The Force Awakens spoilers, things we probably made up article. You know. Oh. I've been saying that all week. It really cracked me up.
Well, okay, this does not make me actually feel any less creeped out at all.
Come on, Ross, you've got a fan. Be nice.
Maybe it's me. Maybe this is just a me thing. But I'm actually feeling like I have less of a fan and, no offense, more of a stalker, you know, Heather.
Here. Oh, pish. Come on, Ross. Austin, you'd never stalk Ross, would you?
Of course. I mean, never. No. I'm just really into the stuff that he does. Like, all the stuff that he does. You know, like the Rochester show? Man, I miss new episodes of that, and his Twitter games can't be beat.
See, Ross, this is all public stuff that you put out there yourself.
Yeah, like your Instagram feed, man. I love it so much. I feel like I was actually at your wedding in a lot of ways.
Okay,
I'm very active.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut you off there. I'm actually gonna stop this now, and I'm gonna hang up the phone
because
I think that this is
not
great radio either.
Stopping now. Don't you dare hang up. Austin is our guest for the next hour, and you know I don't have anything to talk about except for witches.
And Ross, I have very specific questions about the salmon of tomorrow, especially episodes 23, 42, and 123. And I'm pretty sure only you can answer them.
Okay, I'm just going to...
Ross, don't you dare.
Let me have the button.
Just play the theme.
Okay, I feel very, very uncomfortable right now.
Play the theme, Ross.
Okay.
Why don't you return my Facebook messages?
Oh, my God. What is happening?
The sound of tomorrow with Heather and Ross. Together with their friends, you know their boss. Sound of tomorrow, Ross and Heather, talking with their friends and they think they're clever.
Hey look, there's Jimmy Spacebar, taken to the space bridge.
Got sweet smelling head and mad radio skills, at the sound of tomorrow you can get your thrills. Sound of tomorrow, they're your radio friends, the S.O.T., the fun never ends.
S.O.T.,
the sound of tomorrow.
S.O.T., the sound of tomorrow.
The sound of tomorrow. The sound of tomorrow.
The sound of tomorrow. Arr, it's the sound of tomorrow.
Hey everybody, I'm Ross Johnson, your favorite co-host.
And I am Heather Zykowski, the babe with the power.
Heather, I have bad news.
Yeah.
I've had to shut down my clothing line.
You had to shut down your clothing line? What happened?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the sales are fine. I just really feel like I need to focus on radio and washing the dogs.
But
thongs that you were getting on T-Fury, no longer available. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
Aw. I'm also disappointed that I'd completely turned my headphones off, so I thought that no one could hear me because I couldn't hear myself.
Is there an audio version of Object Permanence?
Not for me.
That makes you think yourself went away? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Sometimes I just go away.
Okay.
Sometimes I just go away. But
they have a pill for that.
Do you know, Ross, who did not go away? Not that song break right here on The Sound of Tomorrow on WAYOLP Rochester.
What's the channel we're on?
WAYOLP Rochester.
I know you love saying that song.
I love saying it.
You love identifying. If we could do an hour of station identification, I think you would just do that.
I think we could.
Yeah, I think you could.
I think we could.
I would go home.
Who
did not go away?
Who did not go away? Our guest for the entire hour, Austin Rich of Salem, Oregon, host of Mid-Valley Mutations, host of WTBC Radio and Beautiful Anywhere, Anyone. Austin Rich is on the line here with us today. Hi, Austin.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, it's great to hear the theme song through my phone over the actual phone instead of just as a podcast.
It's pretty wild.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's you get that good lo-fi. Maybe you have a really nice phone. I don't know. Things over my phone aren't.
No, it's terrible. It rolls off all the bass and the mids. You know, it's just the high end.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
It's great.
That's the way it's meant to be heard.
I think so, through a phone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Because that's how people Absolutely. Listen to podcasts.
It's hipster.
There we go.
Right.
Do you know,
as we say out in Oregon, a way to accentuate the show.
Do you know I've never been to Oregon in my entire life?
Nor have I.
I say that not as a. That's not throwing shade at Oregon. I just have never managed to make it to Oregon.
I want to go.
Yeah. What's in Oregon?
It's a long way from. It's where you guys are at.
It's a really long way. It's kind of a long way from everything, right?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, we only just got electricity.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
That's why I want to visit now.
If you come out here, you'll see like a lot of bears, both actual bears and gay bears.
Okay.
And a lot of hipsters that like to hike in the woods, and then a lot that like to say that they like to hike in the woods.
Okay. Are there like non-hipster people that actually like to hike in the woods? Is that a very small?
Oh, absolutely.
Person? Okay.
There's even people that just live in the woods.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's kind of half and half as to whether or not they'll be from there.
All right. I have an unfair, unreasonable fear of rural folk. So I don't know how I would do this.
No, I mean, you're speaking to someone who, the county that I live in was red in the most recent election. So I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, Ross, I share with you that fear of rural areas. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? What's going on?
I don't even know what you're doing back there.
The board is weird. Riff for a sec, okay?
Okay, so here's the behind the scenes. We're just talking, right? We're just chatting here. We're hanging out. And I see Heather like flailing about and she's standing on her head. And there's like a microphone that's flying over the thing. I have no idea what could possibly be happening.
It was amazing. I've fixed it.
Because like if you don't push any buttons, everything's fine.
I'm having problems.
Sure what's going on. Okay.
I'm having difficulties with living.
So my vamping, by the way, is just going to be me describing what you're doing.
That sounds good.
Okay.
That sounds very good to me. Okay. Austin, what are you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm just hanging out here on the Sound of Tomorrow and having a good time, like, excited to talk about all sorts of stuff, being mad at Morrissey and privacy and stuff like that.
Are you mad at Morrissey?
I think we all are, you know?
I think only reasonable people are. Like, mostly reasonable people
are.
Mad at Morrissey.
It's hard not to be. There's a funny meme about the stages of your Morrissey fandom going along with the Facebook React things that you can choose.
Oh,
it's like, you like him, then you love him, then you're shocked by him, then you're sad, and then you're angry.
I feel like, for so many of the reasons that I feel like social media is just the worst thing that may possibly ever happen to him. I guess it's behind, like, plagues and anti-Semitism and race. You know, I mean, like, I guess those are the worst things. But I feel like social media is right up there. And one of the reasons is, I have no confidence to like anybody anymore. In the sense that, like, I feel like if I like someone and if I, you know, enjoy their music or if it's an actor or a comedian or whatever, like, there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to regret ever having, like, not even just having liked them, but regret, like, ever having said anything nice about, like, I feel like I'll have to apologize for having liked that person in the past.
Yeah.
Sure. It's the waiting for the other shoe to drop syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
Like, we're all sitting here going, like, oh, who's next?
Right.
Yeah, I see people trending now, and I sort of hope if it's someone I like, I sort of hope they're dead. Like, that's sort of what I'm rooting for, because it's always...
That's better.
Yeah, it's always so much better. And you're like, maybe you should.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a bad situation.
Well, yeah, I bring up Morrissey specifically because of something that you guys have talked about on your show, which is like, you know, even if the person is awful, maybe the art communicates something that's important.
Right.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, like, it's very difficult because, I mean, when I was in college as an English major, I read some really amazing stuff by awful, awful people.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of becoming an adult is rationalizing when good art can exist separate from the person, and that we can still hate the person and criticize how horrible they are, but that the art might exist in a separate realm.
That's, yeah, absolutely. I get tangled up in that, though, because mm-hmm. there's part of me that feels like that's what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another part of me that feels like I'm suddenly like being an apologist for that kind of thing. And it's sort of easier. It's a lot easier when the people are in the past, you know, like if you're listening to Wagner or reading, I don't know, Lovecraft or, you know, people that were sort of not great people. And you can sort of like.
But they're dead for a long time.
Yeah, like there's a part of your brain that goes, well, you know, people were bad back then. You know, like I'm sure they weren't the worst person back then.
Yeah, I get tangled.
Except they can still be critical.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but I get tangled up in that kind of like, oh, but they're a horrible person too. Because like with Morrissey, I was such a fan, and I didn't know, like, when all this news started coming out that he's really just one of the worst people in the world. It's like, oh, how am I going to feel when a song comes up? And I have to admit, I feel different when a song that I used to adore comes up. And it's just clouded so much of that emotional value that I used to put on the music that now there's another layer of emotions added that makes me bummed when I hear it.
Well, and I saw there was a...
Oh, sure.
There's a current author whose name I won't mention just because I'm gonna maybe mischaracterize things that he was saying, but he was talking on social media about like Aztec culture and it was almost saying this will come back around, I swear. He was almost saying that like even studying, you know, like he was talking about like historians studying Aztec culture and writing about the art and blah 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 blah. And he was sort of saying like, and I thought, you know, the upshot here is I thought this was a really stupid way to sort of look at history, but he was sort of saying like, because of the human sacrifice angle, you basically can't say anything nice about the Aztecs for any reason, and you can't you can't in any way be critical, which. I mean, particularly in history, is sort of stupid because you can't. There's really no culture where you can't find something pretty terrible.
Something.
So if you're
going to
like, if you're going to write off every culture that's ever existed in time.
Yeah, and that's in that logic, we can't say any nice things about Christians because there is the Inquisition.
Right. Just
so,
that was
that was
the one thing.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, there's more,
but
just,
who wants to be judged for their worst moment, which was obviously.
Interesting.
And this isn't to say that just because you enjoy a piece of art that says something important means that you support anyone who made that kind of stuff. Like, that's the distinction we need to draw, I think, culturally, is that, you know, Morrissey for so long was an ally, so it seems. And so a lot of people grew up dancing to his tunes in gay bars, having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't want to belittle those college memories for people who, like, now feel weird about having had a good time before.
Yeah, and I try not to get... I mean, there are... You know, when people get very strident about, like, Morrissey, in the sense of, like, you have, you know, why do you dislike Morrissey? What's that? What's wrong with that? You know, there's an aspect of that where someone's... suddenly like absorbed Morrissey into their cultural worldview,
mm-hmm.
you know, or people who want to tell you how great Roseanne is, you know, where that's become their sort of political stance. But on the other hand, like, I don't like to get too judgy because I know there are people there are people like Morrissey, there are people like Roseanne where like, I can't really enjoy, you know, Bill Cosby. I can't really enjoy Bill Cosby's stuff anymore like I did in the past. Cause that whatever the artistic value, the emotional angle there sort of overwhelms it. But also, there's stuff where there's stuff that I enjoy and continue to like, either out of ignorance or out of okay, I'm going to put that angle aspect to the back because maybe I like it so much that I'm willing to accept that someone might be problematic in a way that, you know, someone in a way that someone else might consider. I like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what? Dude had some issues. Even if you don't, you know, whether or not you believe the worst stuff, dude had some issues. You know, probably not the greatest person who ever lived.
Yeah.
But I'm still listening to Michael Jackson. You know, I'm not like mad at people who don't, but I get it.
Yeah. You know, like I'm in that same boat with my Bill Cosby records that I grew up on. You know, it's like, I want to get rid of them, but like, there's other emotions angled up in there with family and friends and siblings and stuff, and it's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. When you grow up, like, quoting something with your family, and then something comes in to completely change what you thought about that artist.
I have a Bill Cosby book that my mom gave me for, like, graduation or something, like, high school graduation or something that she, like, wrote in. I was like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even.
Oh,
like,
no.
What do you do with that, you know?
Oh, no. What do
you know what you do? You take a photo of the page that she wrote on, and then you get rid of the book.
Yeah, or like rip out the page. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, rip out the page and frame it.
Yeah.
That could be sweet. Does anybody want to hear about someone who could be a non-problematic fave?
Is it your mom?
The non-problematic fave that I want to talk about is right here on the phone with us. It's Austin Rich, who is an amazing superstar.
You say he's non-problematic, but okay,
he's non-problematic.
If in 5 years,
you start finding stuff out.
Start finding stuff out.
You won't
so
be able
know.
To listen
I
to
be
your
careful.
Mid-Valley Mutations archives anymore.
I gotta be careful, man.
Yeah. Austin,
I'll do my best to not do that.
Thank you.
I think you're going to excel. Austin, I want to talk about a super fun thing that came out yesterday.
Yeah, we should, actually.
Yes.
You hinted at this kind of earlier in the show, but I have a podcast where I speak to people that I find interesting or entertaining or whatever, somebody that I've been a fan of. Sometimes it's just a person I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday's episode was an interview with someone that I think Ross is actually very familiar with to one degree or another.
Is it Heather's mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but it's someone that Heather's mom knows, actually.
Wow, okay.
It was me, you silly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
I had a great time being on your show, WTBC Radio, in beautiful Anywhere, Anywhen. And the episode that we recorded in January, I think it was, dropped yesterday. And it's available at anywhereanywhen.wordpress.com.
Now, the cute picture of you that went up, where did that come from?
That was me at Cheshire.
Okay, so unrelated.
Unrelated. Okay. Austin asked for a picture, and I found the most recent one of me I could find.
Because it was absolutely perfect, because it was the... And I was sort of like, I don't think she's been to Oregon, so I don't think they were hanging out. But it gave you that sense of like, oh, look, they're just hanging out. You know, they're just at a bar or whatever, hanging out.
Hanging
you know,
out and recording.
Hanging out, having a chat. Yeah.
So
I could be in New York. You don't know.
That's true. Absolutely. No one's in Rochester. No one comes to Rochester. I think fewer people come to Rochester than go to Oregon. So
I don't know. I mean, given how much Austin has wanted to meet you, Ross, there's a chance he's out in the parking lot sitting in his car right now, speaking on his cell phone from there.
That would be adorable.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Never know.
We won't. Unless we run out and look.
Right.
Austin, you have a lot of stuff going on. You don't just have the anywhereanywhen.wordpress.com site. You also have a radio program on KMUZ called Mid-Valley Mutations.
Yeah. This is an extension of a show that I've been doing for about 20 years now. Started in 1998. And I guess the best description of it is experimental radio. But when I'm not interviewing people and talking to them about what they do and whatnot, I basically try to find music that's a little off the beaten path, a little bit strange. I try to do remixes. I'll have live musicians come in. It's kind of like a show where people can count on hearing something a little bit different every Friday.
Okay.
And it's a really neat program. I've tuned into episodes, and it's very cool.
That sounds like...
Yeah, we do, like, some sci-fi cut-ups and, you know, remixes of, like, old-time radio. We'll have, you know, music from avant-garde composers from the 40s and 50s, all the way through the guy down the street who built his own guitar.
Oh, wow.
Well, and that's, you know, that it's yeah. it's the kind of thing that, well, it's the kind of thing that WAO does a little bit, to give a little plug to WAO, too. But, I don't mean to be like Mr. anti-capitalism or whatever, but commercial, you know, normal sort of commercial radio is so boring. Like, it's just so boring. And I'm not that guy. Like, you know, I don't, it's not like, oh, it's popular, so I don't like it. But it's just, it's so like, I can't even do it. It's like the same, you know, it's like the same lame song four or five times in an hour. Like, I just, I'm incapable of even, so, you know, to have to fight back against that a little bit with, something a little more,
for sure.
A little
more interesting. Kind of a little, yeah, and that's a little bit of my radio story, too, is that, like, you know, I was working as an artist, making some zines, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And, you know, I'd be making something, and then I'd listen to the radio, and I would just, like, put my head in my hands and cry.
Oh.
You know? It was just like there was nothing good on, you know?
Yeah.
You sit there and try to find something. And this is in the late 90s, so, like, grunge is big, and you're just hearing, like, every rehash of, like, Possum Dixon or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something where people like me who were bored late at night could tune in and hear something that wasn't just going to be the top 10 hits that week.
Right. I think that's what drew us to WAO. Yeah, we've even got, you know, I don't even know why I pay for it, but we've got, you know, we've got satellite radio even in the car, and like, because it was sort of like, oh, this will be like, you know, 400 million channels in the car, it'll be great, you know. And even that's like, every time we're in the car, we're like, why are we even paying for this? Because it's 300 channels of the same, you know, like, or the top 10 hits,
sure.
Or the hits that were the top 10 hits 5 years ago, still, that they're still playing.
Yeah.
To remember them. You know, it's so that is, I salute you, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny. We live in this world where, like, you know, I could listen to anything over here in Salem, Oregon, and instead I'm tuning in to WAO once a week.
Right. Yeah.
So there's something to that where, like, I think the homegrownness of it, you can hear the, like, hand-hewn edges of these radio programs. I think that people did that.
Well, there's a fine line, you know. There's so much content, and a lot of it's, you know, a lot of it can be amateur in a bad way. Meaning, like, oh, we didn't really put any time or effort into this, versus you know, maybe a little more, you know, is authentic the right word? Material with a little more that maybe doesn't have the polish or the backing or whatever, but has a little more passion to it. It's out there, but you know, there's so much content that a lot of times you wind up getting funneled back into, like, the big, you know, the big popular stuff, even though there's all this other content, because there's so much to sort through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys do a very good job of helping key me in, because, I mean, this is another reason why I like listening to The Sound of Tomorrow, is that, I mean, I'll put all my cards on the table right here. I am a straight, middle-aged white guy.
Sure.
So I'm kind of my own opinion. You
sure.
know, like,
we wouldn't even normally have you
hear...
as a guest.
Right. And so tuning into your show, it's like I hear music, I hear ideas, I hear news stories that often get swept under regular rugs. And so it's like, oh, it gives me something to chew on, and it gives me a perspective that I don't get.
That's nice. Here, do you ever get mad at us?
Not yet. Right. You guys are usually pretty on point with me. I mean, like, And, you know, as an English major, that might be the only criticisms I have, is possible grammar problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save that for the after show.
Totes.
Yeah, you should call us out on those. I think we'd like that.
I think Heather would like that.
You brought this up, actually, on the show once, which I thought was very commendable, is the grammar of gender in this modern era, which I was like, oh, thank you for saying it, because, like, it is sometimes hard to wrap your mind around just the grammar of the situation, not the person or anything. And so I was like, oh, thank you for mentioning that that is kind of tricky sometimes.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it. You know, there's, you know, we always talk about, there's so much, there's a lot of stuff that's entering the conversation, and if you're, you know, if you're part of a marginalized group, the conversation's not new to you, so you get sort of mad at people who are just entering the conversation, and that's not always, you know, and it's fair, but it's not always productive in the sense of, you know, sometimes it's okay to meet people halfway and be like, this is a little tricky.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff's tricky for us. I mean, you know, we're not experts on really anything.
Anything. Nothing.
Anything at all.
We're experts on nothing.
So, you know, to be able to say, hey, this is a tricky thing, and it's okay, you know, if you're, you know, heart's in the right place and you're giving it a shot and trying to understand people.
For sure, yeah. And I appreciate that, too, because, like, I need as much guidance as anyone else, you know. I need to get called out on every misuse of they and stuff like that. Like, I need to get on board.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I, you know, for me, and I'm not, you know, like, I think, like, middle-aged white gay guy is the new, like, middle-aged white straight guy. Like,
what,
you know, like,
what about middle-aged white straight woman? Because I don't think they're ranking all that far up there either, gotta say.
Not, like, absolutely not. So, you know, so that's why I say, like, we're definitely not experts on anything. But like,
thank you for saying nice things about us, but I think we're kind of in the same bucket as you.
Yeah, it's not that far off.
You're just, like, a notch above, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, you know, The Sound of Tomorrow is about learning, and we're all learning.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what we're going to learn about right now? We're going to learn about the They Might Be Giants Dial-A-Song Song of the Week. Please enjoy They Might Be Giants with Best Regrets, and we'll be back with more of The Sound of Tomorrow with special guest Austin Rich right after this.
It's time for Dial a Song. Hey, you're listening to Ross and Heather on The Sound of Tomorrow, WAYO 104.3 FM, Rochester, New York. And this is John F. of They Might Be Giants. Here's this week's Dial a Song song. Since I think that's true.
sorry that you so strange for so long cannot reanimate what is already gone. But we could talk right through the night under a pitch black moonless sky, and what was possible.
In orbit over beautiful downtown Rochester, it's The Sound of Tomorrow on WAYOLP Rochester.
I'm Heather Zykowski, the babe with the power.
And I am Ross Johnson, your favorite co-host.
And you're listening to The Sound of Tomorrow on WAYOLP Rochester. We have managed to not drop the call with our awesome, amazing friend and guest, Austin Rich, right? Austin, you're there?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Yes, it worked!
Did you just give yourself a shout-out for... literally just all you did was not hang up on him?
Yeah.
Okay, so you literally just did not push the hang up button.
Yeah, but you know how I like to just push a bunch of stuff on this console? Like, I get all fidgety and I start pushing all the things?
You're the worst... you're the worst millennial stereotype.
Like,
I'm
going to
start
amazing.
Giving you awards. I'm going to start giving you
that's
awards.
That's fantastic because I am solid Gen X. So
I know.
Would love to get these things that I've never been given before.
I know. You're worse than that, though.
Everybody gets a trophy. I never got a trophy.
I never got a trophy.
Austin.
I want to be a millennial. I want somebody to give me a freaking trophy.
You know, I will say this for Heather, that she gave me the opportunity to listen to the They Might Be Giants style song in true over-the-phone fashion.
Okay.
Yes!
And, that was pretty awesome.
Style.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Austin...
it reminds me of the old...
you do...
when you had to listen to everything on a phone.
A ton of stuff, including you know how to use a telephone and not hang it up, a skill I do not have. But you also do another show with our wonderful mutual friend, Angela.
Oh, yes, and I believe she's listening, so hello, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Yeah, and that show is a great show. I think for people who like Sound of Tomorrow, we talk about current issues, we talk about newsy kind of things, and then we also just talk about our lives and funny situations that we find ourselves in and stuff.
Yeah, I am a big fan of this show. It's called Wait, We're Recording, right? And I've listened to every episode, and I love it because I'm friends with both of you, and so what I do is... you'll be talking about a topic, and I'll be talking to you about that, but because I'm only listening to a recording of you and Angela, you can't hear me.
That's true. I do the same thing with Sound of Tomorrow.
I love it, because I remember you were talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to go down to Panorama Plaza, and then I'm like, they can't actually hear me. I'm not part of this conversation. Though
we should talk about that.
It was good. I loved the conversation you had about that and working in the book mines and whatnot. It's a really fun program.
You should type up your comments and send them in.
Sometimes I do.
Okay.
Especially to Angela, I'll be like, I heard the latest episode and I wanted to tell you X, Y, Z, and I have all these things that I liked about the show that I want to chime in on.
You're so good. You're so good. I know people like feedback because I like feedback, but I'm always like, they don't care what I think. And then I'm too and that might just be an excuse for being lazy, but...
Well, and also I might not do that if I weren't friends with the people on the show.
That's true.
I might do that a lot less if it were, Spontaneation with Paul F. Tompkins.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not writing him with my thoughts on everything.
Sure.
But when it's people who are actual friends of mine, I feel a little less weird about it. But so that's a very fun program. And I don't necessarily want to pivot away from all of your amazing accomplishments, Austin, because, my gosh, I printed out kind of your CV from your website. This thing is long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
And if anyone would like, if anyone wants more information on what Austin Rich is up to, there is a lot of stuff available at acronyminc.org.
Yes, that's kind of like the where the blog is, when I update it, and some other written bits when I'm prone to writing.
And this is all very nice. I was sort of led to believe that this show was going to be all about me, but all right, yeah, let's talk about Austin, sure. Let's talk about all the great stuff Austin does.
Yeah.
I was sort of set up with the idea that we were just going to be talking about all my great stuff, but
now,
yeah, sure.
On.
No, we can talk about Austin. That's fine.
You've already got your trophy that I brought you. I bring you one every week. I can't believe you were complaining about giving me a trophy, because really, I have a closet full because you insist, demand that you be presented with a trophy, a new, fresh trophy, every single time you show up at the WAYOLP Rochester studios.
I've literally demanded cookies, and you've never delivered, not even one single time, so I don't
oh, you said
care
cookies?
About your bull crap.
Oh, trophies. I heard trophies.
Yeah, well, that's because you're old and you can't hear very good. Listen.
Trophies.
We're going to run out of time.
We always run out of time.
So you got to set this up. Go.
Yes. Austin, I have been told that in classic SOT fashion, you have prepared a discussion topic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to put on an old hat that I used to wear. I was a part of a panel on a program called Geekly Update, where we talked about nerdy things and whatnot. One of the things I always tried to do was bridge the gap between people who are genuine nerds and people who have an iPhone, but they don't know what they're doing with it sometimes.
Ooh.
Sure.
And so, you know, right now...
So, like, me and Heather.
Right. Except I don't have an iPhone. Mine's a Samsung.
That's true. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't work with a Samsung. Yeah. So right now, with the news cycle and stuff, people are really concerned with privacy. And I thought, you know, a quick little privacy review might be in order, just to kind of help waylay some concerns that people may have about the internet and hackers and things like that.
So this is information you have to discuss with us that you have assembled to enlighten us.
Yeah, just
love,
you know,
that.
A couple of
I
kind
love
of
that.
Tips and things like that. You know, nothing too dramatic. It's a lot of reminders more than anything. I hope you don't mind.
I love it.
I love that.
We love it.
I love it. I love when somebody gives me information.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
Cool.
Thing.
So in the larger world of, like, privacy, there's kind of, like, three basic sections that you want to consider. Your real-life privacy, that's, like, you know, at home, and your physical privacy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, financial and legal privacy, you know, your identity, quote-unquote. And then, lastly, digital privacy.
Interesting.
I have never heard of that last one. I don't know that that's a real thing, but
it's a theoretical idea.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So I think the best way to approach this is to kind of skip the second two for right now, and let's just talk about, like, what you do in real life with privacy, you know.
Okay.
There's a few obvious things that people do. You know, you don't tell strangers where you live. You don't give them your address.
Unless you happen to be out on a first internet date and the bouncer yells out your full address.
Whoa, that happened to you?
Yes!
Oh, no! That's a total privacy bug.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah, that's not great. See, I
would talk to them.
I grew up outside of Las Vegas in the 80s, this a lot of this is, like, nailed it, because I think this was true everywhere, but it was particularly true, like, where, like, you were like, it was drilled into me that I was going to be kidnapped and molested.
Sure.
It pretty much every day that I came home not kidnapped and molested was like I won the lottery that day.
Yes.
So
yeah, you got lucky.
So yeah, so I hope you're also going to include, like, you don't wear clothes with your name on it, so that no one can, like, drive right up and say your name and tell you to get in the car.
Yeah,
because that's a problem. That's
if you have a job where you have to wear a name tag, take the name tag off and sure, you do that job.
Sure.
But that is a good point. That's a really good point, because I work in a place where you need a badge to log in and out, and I do try to remember to tuck my badge into my sweater or something like that if I take a walk and get some lunch or something, just so that people can't see my full name.
True, yeah, true. And you won't get in their car, because your mom told them. They say your mom said to come and pick you up.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. No, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like any way that you accidentally can give personal information to a stranger, you would totally avoid that in real life. You know?
Why? Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine the three of us being in a forum where maybe we would be putting, you know, personal thoughts and feelings just out for anyone to hear in any kind of way. We wouldn't just...
We're just going to sidetrack the hell out of everything you're trying to convey here. FYI, just so you know.
Yeah. But, you know, but the main thing I think when it comes to real-life privacy is that if it reasonably protects you in some way, it's reasonable to do.
Sure.
You know, like, don't share information that you don't want to have out, and don't let people know where you are if you don't want them to know where you
mm-hmm
are.
Sure.
Right. Like, yeah. I think another example I've heard is if you're going on a vacation, maybe don't post that on Facebook and Twitter and all the socials. Post when you get back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just went on a nice camping trip, and all of my photos went up the day after I got home.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little thing, you know. I mean, I don't suspect that people are that interested in my comings and goings, but I don't want to leave a breadcrumb trail for them, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So once you've kind of got in your head what it means to feel safe in real life, then it helps to understand what to do with your financial, legal, your quote-unquote identity, and your digital privacy, because you just want to repeat those same basic kinds of, what do you call it, guidelines. You know, you don't want strangers to know where your bank account is.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't want strangers to know, like, any of your personal information that might identify you to other pieces of your ID, like your social security number or whatnot.
Right,
right,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, identity theft, digital theft, things that happen to you online when people violate these other two areas of your lifestyle, you know, none of that information can be stolen, hacked, or abused if you don't supply it to them. Nothing gets onto the internet unless you put it there.
True.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's why it always makes me nervous when there's something where I must enter a social security number for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I backed out of it.
Yeah, I want to say there was something for work or for taxes where I had to, and I kept checking to make sure there was the HTTPS for the secure, but it still made me dreadfully nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being nervous is actually a good thing, because that means that you're asking questions, you're paying attention, and you're playing safe, and that's kind of the whole point.
So what might be some things that we're probably doing wrong?
Ooh.
That are super dumb?
Mm. Yeah, so here's a couple of reminders about how the internet works, even the one in your pocket on your phone, is that... there's kind of two sections of the internet. There's actual websites when you go to a browser, and then there's all those apps that you load onto your phone.
Right, right.
So every web page you go to, that's information about you. Anything that you type into a box, that's information about you. Keep these things in mind when you're using these apps and going to these websites. Maybe you want to have a nice internet alias that you use, where you kind of make up some information about this person, and then that way, that's how you get your, you know, social media accounts or whatever.
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea, and that's how you look up your plans to bring about someone's demise.
Mm, yes, for sure, for sure, because you can just store them all under another name.
Right.
And that would be an example of the type of privacy thing that you probably wouldn't want to say on the radio also.
I don't worry.
That's a super good example.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Right.
Right. Right.
So I got a couple more here since we're getting close to the end of the show, and yeah. I don't want to take too long. So here's a couple things. Oh, no, I've been compromised. What to do?
Yes.
Obviously, in real life, this is a very different story. You want to contact all of your banks. You want to go to the DMV. And you want to go to other places where you have an ID card that has your picture on it. And you want to talk to those businesses in person.
Okay, sure.
That's just to make sure that you get cards replaced, numbers changed, passwords switched, all that kind of stuff. And I know that when you're in a situation like that, it's easy to forget a couple things. Mm-hmm. So, you might want to make a checklist when you're not dealing with a robbery and then have something to go over when you have.
Oh, that's a great idea. Try to log where your accounts are and stuff like that so that then when you're in crisis mode, you don't have to try to pull everything together.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you just look at a list and read through.
Well, and I'd add, and this is sort of advice that I try to give myself, is like trying to limit the stuff that is, try to limit the accounts and the stuff that's out there, because I'll sort of, there's so many things you can get, do, cards, etc.
Mm-hmm.
I've almost gotten to the point where I just try to, I try to think several times before I sign up for anything,
yes.
before I get a new whatever, before I get a new credit card,
Me
before
too.
I sign up for a new account on something, because I know it's like one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to, there's a good chance unless it's a critical thing, it's probably something we're going to forget about.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And then, it's, years later, it's like, oh, we stole all your information from this website.
Yes, absolutely.
That becomes a new weakness, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are good tips.
We've got to get straight to something that I was going to suggest at the end, which is reevaluating everything. If you've had some sort of breach where, you just kind of go, do I need this stuff? I know you do the Marie Kondo in your own house, but
yes.
I'm down to just folding my socks weird is the only thing that's left of that in my house.
I still do my shirts.
Yeah.
No, I do a lot of stuff, actually.
Of course you do, because you don't let anything
Yeah.
out. But
I will mention password hygiene. This is a really important thing to make a calendar recommendation of how often you want to change your passwords and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're bad at remembering that kind of stuff, get a password manager like 1Pass or FastPass or something like that, where it helps manage that for you and it changes those passwords regularly so that you don't risk compromise.
Yeah, that's great advice. And my
yes.
husband Mac is very good about that. I have gotten better about that. I used to be not advice for
no.
cyber hackers out there, but I used to be really bad. And I would sort of gauge by this website I'm not really doing a lot with, so I can use it. I can use the 1234 password. That's fine, but it's not good. And a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff too. You don't know what's a back door to something else. So it's bad. It's bad what I do. It's bad. I'm getting better. I've gotten a lot better.
I think my only other piece of advice would be to search for your name after a breach.
Hmm.
If you don't know about accounts that have been made in your name, this is a way that you can uncover them. Sometimes you can work with those websites to get those deleted or blocked or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A quick search reveals maybe some stuff that you didn't know now exists about you.
Wow, just a Google search, you mean?
Yeah, because a lot of websites
awesome.
Will list whether or not you have an account through a Google search. You can Google search for Facebook accounts or Instagram accounts. If you've had a violation, that's a good time to start checking to see, maybe someone started a bunch of other stuff that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a few tips here for people, and these are things that are not you don't need to be a tech expert, you don't have to have an IT background, but just a little bit of common sense stuff of what applied in those real life kindergarten scenarios of dealing with strangers, that's kind of what the internet and identity theft has become.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very interesting. When you mentioned the topic of privacy, Austin, the thing that popped immediately into my mind was, I want to know how both of you feel when you go to show someone a picture on your phone and then they take your phone.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, no.
Like,
I don't like this.
Wait, what? No. Oh, like they
take it to look at the picture better, not to run away. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, like you hand out your phone to me, Ross.
Like,
and
how
you say,
often does this happen?
Here's a picture. You say, like, here's a picture of my dog, but I take your phone from you. How do you feel?
And suddenly you're scrolling through their previous evening.
Yeah, like I immediately like I immediately try to figure out like if they start scrolling, what else is going to be mm-hmm. in there? Yeah, that's why that scenario is scary to me. I thought you were describing a series of situations you'd had where you went to show someone a picture and they took your phone and ran away, left forever.
No, I'm sorry. I only meant they get all handsy with your phone, sure. even though it's a friend of yours. I had a situation with my mom. I was trying to show her a picture a friend took at work of the dress that I'd worn to work that day. And my mom isn't too tech savvy, but she knows how to look at a picture on a phone.
Okay.
But I'm trying to pull it up, and she keeps looking, and I'm on the sidewalk, and I'm like turning to hide my phone. But I only had like a couple pictures of Nigel on there, so I don't know why I was like, nope, not yet, mom, nope, don't, don't look at my phone.
But it's your private space. It's your private digital space where you have ideas and thoughts and images and text. You know, like it's like looking at your desk or thumbing through a journal.
You're right. It is. It's very private what people have on their phones.
And I sort of understand, like, you go to show someone a picture. I mean, I've had that with, like, older relatives, and I guess I don't think too much about it, like, where you go to show them a picture and, like, you're holding it at a weird angle, and they, you know, so, you know, sort of like, give me the phone so I can see it.
Yep.
I get it, but yeah, I've seen people do the thing of like, oh, I'm gonna scroll with you. I think my mom's done that.
Yes.
It's like, okay, listen, mom, you know, what are you?
Yeah, what are you doing? Stop scrolling through my photo roll.
Yeah, and like you say, that's not the place where you'd find anything like that. You know, that
right.
worrisome. But you don't
but
know.
Still,
like, you know, I mean,
like I just don't.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So don't do. Yeah. So I can forgive for me. I can forgive the taking the phone, but don't start scrolling. Like,
yeah. I've also had my mom like accidentally start scrolling
right.
because you know, you start touching the screen instead of the frame. It makes me very nervous.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, this is kind of part of the problem is that, like, a lot of these privacy things, you know, people don't quite understand what phones and iPads and whatnot, what kind of traces they leave behind when we use them.
Sure.
And so, you know, reminding them that your phone is also a conduit to the internet. Like, for people who are old, like, that's very helpful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Old meaning like.
Oh, my gosh.
Old meaning like us.
Like us. I have some sad news. We have reached almost the end of the show.
Some sad news. Ross just took my phone and ran away. Just,
but it's okay because it's locked with the password.
Okay.
And I don't think you'll figure it out.
I bet I would.
It would take a while. We have been here this hour with Austin Rich, host of Mid-Valley Mutations, host of WTBC Radio in Beautiful Anywhere, Anywhen. Yesterday's episode features me, Heather Zykowski, from The Sound of Tomorrow. Also, host of Wait, We're Recording Right with Austin, my friend, and Angela. Austin does a whole ton of stuff that you can find out about at acronyminc.org. Austin, thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been super fun. I love not having to wait for the podcast version. I can actually, I did it in real time this time.
I'm going to listen back to this one. And Space Cadets,
just call,
thank you.
You can call it and listen whenever you want.
That's true. We'll patch you through. Space Cadets, thanks for listening to The Sound of Tomorrow on WAYO LP Rochester. Coming up next is the fantastic program Music Matters, so stay tuned.
Thanks, Austin. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
TVC. And that's going to do it for us this week on the Supplemental Thursday Show here. My appearance on The Sound of Tomorrow, episode 298 of their show. That was really cool to be able to participate in the skits and just, you know, they're so much fun. So, yeah, please, if you haven't already checked it out, listen to The Sound of Tomorrow. It's a pretty cool program. They don't always have guests, but they do always have cool stuff that they do and enjoy, and that's what makes it fun. So I think you should check it out. I think that's going to do it for this week. Please, enjoy and stick around because we got cool things coming your way very soon. I should know. I'm editing those cool things. It's WTBC Radio in beautiful anywhere. Be seeing you.
WTBC anywhere, anywhere, from our house to yours.
The Sound of Tomorrow has been brought to you by Jimmy Spaceboy, who reminds you.
So
Ross, we're gonna have an episode, right? Where you and I talk some more?
Yes.
Cool, because I have so many questions, like, what's your inseam, and what size are you?
Support for WAO is provided by Bop Shop Records, an independently owned record store selling hand-selected vinyl since 1982. All styles of music are available, with a specialization in blues, jazz, soul, rock, folk, and classical. Bop Shop also hosts in-store live performances from local and touring musicians. For more information, we invite you to visit us at 1460 Monroe Avenue or online at bopshop.com.
WTBC.